Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have two stories about technology. This summer, the latest version of Google's self-driving car will make its first appearance on public roads. The two-seat vehicle does not need a gas pedal or steering wheel. The prototype can drive, brake, and recognize road dangers without human involvement. Google says the car is the first vehicle built for the purpose of self-driving. However, the new vehicle is not designed for long trips. It does not have airbags or other safety devices required by the federal government. It cannot go more than 40 kilometers per hour. The vehicle is electric and has to be recharged after 130 kilometers. And it can only drive in areas that have been thoroughly mapped by Google. Current California laws require all vehicles to have a steering wheel to guide the car and a gas pedal to control fuel use. The laws also require a driver to be able to take back control of a vehicle at any time. But Google is working to change those laws. Google will first build and test 25 driverless vehicles in areas around the company's headquarters in Mountain View, California. Then, the company plans to build more and expand testing to areas that have more hills and more rain. Sergey Brin is a co-founder of Google. He says the computer-controlled cars can eliminate or end driving mistakes made by humans. Experts say 90% of the 1.2 million yearly road deaths are caused by human error. Self-driving cars could also improve areas of high traffic and especially help older people and disabled people. Google first announced that it was working on a driverless car in 2010. Mr. Brin says Google does not want to be a car company, but wants automakers to use its technology. Critics worry about the safety of having cars without human drivers. And Google admits there have been minor accidents in the 6 years it has been testing autonomous cars. Chris Urmson says Google is proud of that record. Mr. Urmson is director of Google's self-driving car project. He says that Google's vehicles have completed about 3 million kilometers of testing. He says drivers in traditional cars caused all but one of the accidents. Critics also question the dependability of self-driving cars. They wonder if the cars can be trusted to work all the time. They also ask if such cars appeal to people. In 2013, J.D. Power and Associates did a study of U.S. drivers. It found that only 1 in 5 was interested in a fully autonomous car. Mr. Urmson says Google needs to do a better job of educating people about self-driving technology. He also says Google needs to better inform the public about its progress with the technology. The company is building a website to do that. The site will include a monthly report that will include details of any accidents involving Google cars. It will also permit people to comment on any experiences they might have with the cars. Google is not the only company developing self-driving cars. Mercedes-Benz, Infiniti, and others already have highly developed driver assistance systems that require little help from a driver. But other automakers think self-driving cars will be made available feature by feature instead of all at once. They say this gives people time to adapt to self-driving technology. Mr. Bren says Google is still improving its plans for self-driving cars, but he's excited about their possibility. Google hopes to have its driverless cars available in the next 5 years. You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. When a dog loses a leg, the animal eventually figures out the best way to get around on three legs. In a short time, the dog learns to deal with its physical disability. Now, scientists have developed robots that behave in much the same way. We can find robots everywhere. Robots build cars, play chess, and can clean your house. They may someday drive your car, too. Two robots, named Spirit and Opportunity, were sent to Mars on a mission to explore the Red Planet. Jeff Kloon is a computer scientist with the University of Wyoming. He says robots also help people in natural disasters. Robots are deployed in search and rescue operations following an earthquake. They may someday also be used to examine the wreckage of a nuclear accident, like the one in Fukushima, Japan. Mr. Kloon says robots can be sent to a lot of places said to be unsafe.
The problem is that all of those types of situations and environments are extremely unpredictable and hostile, and so it's very likely that robots and humans in those situations become damaged.
He and other scientists are developing technology so that robots will continue operating after the first sign of injury. They want the machines to have the ability to make changes and continue performing until they can be repaired. Mr. Kloon and researchers in France have added one more operation to the skill set of robots working under difficult conditions. They say they programmed a hexapod robot, one with six legs, and a robotic arm to learn how to deal with injury. Their findings were reported in the journal Nature. Mr. Kloon said that once the robots become damaged, they use their intuition and knowledge of how their body works to find a way to deal with the damage. He says the robots are also programmed with childlike curiosity. In other words, they are always asking questions and looking for answers. The whole process takes about a minute for the robots to find a way to overcome damage. And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
from VOA Learning English. This is In the News. The United States says it is sending more troops to Iraq to prepare Iraqi forces in their fight against the Islamic State militant group. President Barack Obama has approved the deployment of 450 U.S. troops to train, assist, and advise Iraqi security forces. The Americans also will work with Sunni Muslim tribesmen. Sunni militias have been working with Iraqi forces to take back Anbar province from the militants. The United States already has 3,100 troops in Iraq. President Obama approved their deployment last year after Islamic State fighters seized territory in the country's north and west. The militants also control large parts of Syria. Presidential spokesman Josh Earnest said the troops will be sent to a military base in Anbar province following requests from Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. The U.S. military spokesman said they could begin operations in 6 to 8 weeks. The United States is about to begin the second year of its campaign against the Islamic State, also known as ISIS or IS. The U.S. has been leading a coalition of countries against the militants. Coalition forces have carried out more than 4,400 airstrikes on IS targets in Iraq and Syria. Several observers say most people in the Middle East recognize that the militants are a violent threat to their communities. But they warn that getting the Arab public to fully support the fight against IS will not be easy. Zogby International studies public opinion in the Arab world. One of its surveys showed that a majority of Arabs know the Islamic State is a dangerous group. Yet it found they do not support the bombing raids against IS forces. The head of Zogby International, Jim Zogby, spoke about the findings.
They've lost confidence in the ability of the U.S. to use force and use it responsibly. Iraq was a terrible toll on the Arab psyche. And the behavior on Israel-Palestine has also had an impact. So simply knowing that the Arabs are afraid of ISIS doesn't translate immediately to America should lead a military attack against ISIS.
He added that many Arabs also are not happy to see the U.S. and Iran both fighting IS, a Sunni group that has attacked Shiite Muslims. Mr. Zogby says Arabs also see U.S. officials working with an Iraqi government that does not bring in all groups of the population. Ryan Crocker formerly served as the U.S. ambassador to Iraq. He warns that without more American involvement, the future of Iraq does not look promising. Bombing raids against IS targets are just not enough, observers say. They say a longer-term political solution to the divide between Sunni and Shiite Muslims is necessary. Another former ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalizad, warns that without a solution, the U.S. government will always be fighting wars. Both former diplomats agree that without stronger involvement, the United States risks becoming less and less of a player in the Middle East. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.
Now the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. Our story this week is called Papa Straw Hat. It was written by Fred Gibson. Here is Shep O'Neill to tell you the story.
Papa was a rancher. He worked with horses. He was proud of the way he dressed. He always wore clean clothes, even when he worked. That is very difficult for a rancher who works outside on a horse farm. He often said to me, "Son, you may not be able to buy the best clothes, but always keep those you have clean. That is the important thing." Papa did what he said. His clothes were never dirty like those of most of the other ranchers I knew. Papa never worked outside without a hat. He always wore the same kind of hat. It was a cowboy hat, a large black hat of heavy wool. He never pushed the hat to one side of his head. He wore it straight. And he did not push the top of his hat down, like most cowboys do. He wore his hat full and high. I think he wanted to look taller than he really was. Papa had two hats. One was his Sunday hat. The other was his everyday hat. When his Sunday hat got old, he wore it every day and then bought a new Sunday hat. He wore his Sunday hat only to church or on holidays or when he visited the city. Most of the time he kept his Sunday hat in a special box. He hid it so we could not find it. Papa loved his hats. And he cared for them in a special way. He never threw them down on a chair. Someone might sit on them. He even had a special place for his everyday hat. As soon as he came into the house from work, he put his hat on a nail behind the kitchen door. Mama was very careful of Papa's hat. She was proud of the way he looked when he worked, or when he wore his Sunday hat and his best clothes. She was not permitted to touch his Sunday hat. Then something happened. Maybe it was the heat of the long summer. Maybe Mama read about hats in a magazine or book. But in some way, she got the idea that Papa should not wear a heavy wool cowboy hat in the hot weather. She began to believe that Papa would lose his hair if he did. Mama began to worry more about Papa's hair than about his hats. Perhaps it was Uncle George who made Mama worry about Papa's hair. Uncle George had no hair. His head was as smooth as an egg. Papa had thick black hair that shone like silk. It would be terrible if Papa lost his hair because he wore a heavy wool cowboy hat. So, Mama began to worry. She began to watch Papa carefully as he worked in the hot fields under his tall, heavy hat. She saw how wet his hair was when he came into the house. Mama began to talk about hats. "Papa," she said one day, "why don't you throw that old wool hat away and get a nice, cool straw hat?" "What?" Papa said. "Me wear a straw hat? I would never let my horses see me in a straw hat." Horses, Mama answered. What have horses to do with a straw hat? Animals don't care what kind of hat you wear.
Mine do, Papa said. My horses recognize me, because I always wear the same hat. And they like the cowboy hats best of all. Anyway, he said, I would not be seen dead in a straw hat.
Mama talked and talked, but she could not change Papa's mind. They talked about hats all summer long. At last, Mama tried to frighten Papa to get him to wear a straw hat. Papa, she said, just look at most of the ranchers we know. All of them wear heavy wool cowboy hats in the summer. And most of them have lost their hair. Papa laughed at Mama. He laughed so hard the tears ran down his face and his stomach hurt. But his laughing did not stop Mama. She told him about Jim Berry, who lost his hair about 2 years ago. Papa, a little angry, answered,
It was not the cowboy hat that made Jim Berry lose his hair. It was his wife, always talking about hats and not giving him any peace and quiet.
Mama said nothing. She stopped talking about hats. I wondered what was going to happen. Then, one day, Mama got up earlier than usual. She marched to the kitchen and made breakfast. She had a very serious look on her face. She did not say a word. She made more noise than usual. She put the dishes down so hard I thought they would break. Suddenly, she got in the car and drove toward the city. She did not tell us why she was going. Later, she came home with a straw hat. She still looked very serious. There had not been much rain that year. It was a bad year for ranchers. We had only a little money. But it was the year for Papa to buy a new cowboy hat. Mama knew this. She also thought that if she spent the money for a straw hat, Papa would not spend any money to buy a cowboy hat. Mama was right. When Papa saw the straw hat, his face got red. He said nothing. He pulled the straw hat down over his head until it hid his eyes. He looked very funny. I wanted to laugh, but I did not. I was afraid to, because Papa was so angry. I remember how quiet he was as he marched out of the house. I followed him that day. He was going to train the wild horses again. I loved to watch him work. He had gotten the horses earlier in the year, but they were still half wild, half trained. Papa slowly walked toward the field where the horses were eating grass. He was a good rancher because he was gentle with horses, never cruel to them. He had given names to all the horses. He always called to them when he first saw them in the morning. He talked softly to them, so they would not be afraid. Sometimes the horses walked up to him when he called their names. They knew his cowboy hat, which he wore every day. They did not feel safe near any other person. I followed Papa as he walked toward the field calling their names. At first, the horses continued to eat, but as Papa got closer, the horses looked up at him. Suddenly they jumped high into the air, raising their front feet.
Then they began to run around wildly. They screamed the way frightened horses do. One horse kicked a hay wagon over. All of them ran around and around in the field, and then raced toward the barn where they slept. I never heard such a noise. Papa began to shout, "Whoa, boys! Steady, boys, steady!" But there was nothing he could do. He marched toward the house. Inside the barn, the frightened horses screamed and kicked hard against the walls of the barn. Mama came running out of the house. She stood near the door, waiting for Papa. She held her hands against her heart. "What is it, Papa? What is it?" Papa did not answer. She held the door open, and he marched into the house. Mama followed him. I went in after them to see what was going to happen. Papa walked straight to the stove in the kitchen. He opened the top of the stove, pulled the straw hat off his head, and pushed it deep down into the fire. At last, he turned to Mama and looked at her in a way that even frightened me. I never heard Papa so angry. He shouted and shouted all sorts of new words. At last, his anger was gone. Then he said, in a soft but firm voice, "Now listen to me, Mama. Understand this. I will never wear a straw hat or any other kind of hat my horses do not like." Then he put on his Sunday cowboy hat and walked out of the house. It was almost midnight when the noise died away and the animals became quiet. The next day, Papa fixed all the broken wood in the walls of the barn. I never heard Mama talk any more about hats. Perhaps that is why, when Papa died many years later, there was a round spot on the top of his head where there was no hair.
You have heard the American story, Papa's Straw Hat, written by Fred Gibson. It was adapted for VOA Special English by Harold Braverman with permission of Southern Methodist University Press. It was first published in Southwest Review, summer 1963. Your storyteller was Shep O'Neill. This story is copyrighted, all rights reserved. This is Shirley Griffith.